Hello, this is Near FM, and you're coming to you on the frequency of 90.3, and it's also the Senior Citizens Programme. And online we have Dr. Ian Markovny from the Age Friendly group, and she's going to talk to us about a ceremony that will take place in Slane Castle in December, where Ireland becomes the first country to acknowledge as an age-friendly the World Health Organization. That's the,
Good afternoon, Austin, and thank you very much for having Age Friendly Ireland on your programme this afternoon.
Oh, no, that's what we're here for. you're welcome to appear any time.
Great.
Yeah, maybe you'll tell us now with regard to the upcoming ceremony that...
Absolutely. Well, it was actually in December, just before Christmas there, it took place, and it was a first for Ireland, I suppose, in having the World Health Organization over here to acknowledge Ireland's status as an age-friendly country. And by that I mean that every county in Ireland and has signed up to become part of this World Health Organization age-friendly global network. Ireland's Age Friendly programme started in Ireland about 10 years ago, and it really is in response to population ageing. So all over the world, people are living longer and healthier lives, but it means that the population is ageing, so that there are more and more older people in our communities, and this is a situation that we need to prepare for. So Age Friendly work in Ireland is about trying to respond to this change in the demographics by putting in place changes in how, say, the environment is designed, how buildings are built, housing, health and transport and all of those things, so that older people will continue to be able to live active and full lives and continue to be able to be independent for as long as possible as well. So in December there, it was a recognition ceremony whereby the World Health Organization travelled, and we had a lovely event in Slane Castle, acknowledging the role that each local authority and each partner in the local age-friendly alliances plays in having a county or city strategy to deliver actions to support older people in their communities.
Yes, the DCU was the first age-friendly university.
Age-friendly university, yes. We've done a lot of work with age-friendly businesses. We have worked with Knock Airport to develop guidelines to be an age-friendly airport. We've worked with St. Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny, to develop a guideline document to support other hospitals to become more age-friendly. And, you know, all of this work starts with the voice of the older person. So in any programme of work that we're doing, we start by consulting with older people in the local area regarding how they need the service delivered to them. But there are a huge number of initiatives that have been delivered through Age Friendly Ireland and in each of the local authority programmes over the past 10 years. And DCU would be one example of it. You know, we're working closely with a lot of academics and various different pieces of research taking place at the moment that would document the views and the voice of the older person.
Yes, the views of the older person, in years gone by, the views of the older person maybe not taken too seriously, just sit down there and by the fire and then have a cup of tea. But that day is long since gone now, and there's all sorts of groups out there promoting age-friendly this, that and the other, particularly activity to keep them more mobile as such. And,
absolutely, there's a lot of work through the sports partnerships and through the national, the non-government organisations, voluntary organisations, and that will be doing a lot of work around, health and wellbeing programmes for older people. But you're absolutely correct. I think the stereotype of yesteryear, where the older person was kind of a forgotten voice in the community, hopefully is long behind us, and the views of older people now should be central to every decision that is that's made about them and about services for them.
Yes,
a lot of pieces of... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and of course, the population is getting older by the minute. It's recommended, it's suggested that it's about 2,500 people every month reach the age of 65. No, but that's not considered old age by any chance now, by any measure now.
Yeah. Well, they say that, you know, the population aged 65 and over is going to double within the next few decades here in Ireland, and the population of people aged 85 and over is going to quadruple. So there, you know, there'll be a significant proportion of the population who will be older. And like, as you say, we don't want older people who feel they need to sit by the fire and keep their doors closed. We want people to feel they can continue to participate, whether it's through work or voluntary activity, that, you know, they feel socially connected, that they have a good quality of life. So all of the age-friendly work in is about trying to ensure that this would be a good place for older people to live in, and that Ireland would be a great country to grow older in. And I think we were very, very proud that the World Health Organization was able to shine a spotlight on Ireland for being the first country in the world to have full coverage across all of the administrative areas, and full commitment to the age-friendly international program.
Yes, but quite apart from all the commitments by the different people, you know, governments by and large only think in 4-year terms or 5-year terms, and these strategies they seem to get sometimes to be kind of dust on a shelf somewhere and aren't implemented. The government indicated that they will put in place your recommendations.
Well, there are huge policy changes happening in healthcare and in housing in that. I know that there's a recent policy document, Housing Options for an Ageing Population. That's a very practical policy statement that has, you know, there's a lot of working groups set up to deliver the actions. In the local authority sector, we've been very involved in research on how local authorities are preparing for an ageing population. We've just completed a survey looking at local authority housing provision for older people, and there's a lot happening around the country in terms of building houses that are more age-friendly in design, building specific units for older people, building, you know, public space environments that are conducive for people with more limited mobility. Having right-sizing policies and that. So there's a lot of change happening in the housing area, and also in terms of even in the healthcare sector with policies like Sláinte Care, where there's a big shift in, I suppose, preventative healthcare and in trying to treat health conditions at the primary care stage before they escalate into acute problems. So there are certainly a lot of changes happening that would be longer than the four-year term that, you know, are going to take a longer time to implement a complete policy change, if you like, but there is a lot of work happening, and we would work closely with the government departments. They would be represented on our National Advisory Group for Age Friendly Ireland.
Yeah, you talked about housing now. It would seem to me that housing should be a major priority. Accessibility, you know, ramps and different types of things that should be a normal attribute to different types of housing for senior citizens, and not so people can't get upstairs, but the stair lifts and this type of thing are available. But you know, by and large, the strategy with regard to housing would be housing on the level, on the ground floor, in other words.
Yeah, age-friendly housing, like there's a lot happening in terms of, you know, there'd be good examples, certainly in Limerick and, you know, Dublin City have, you know, different demonstration sites where there are housing developments that take account of the needs of people as they age, so that they're adaptable or suitable for people as they age. And things, as you say, like having level access showers or, you know, wider doorways and corridors to facilitate if somebody needs a wheelchair in years to come and that. So I suppose we're at the stage at the moment where we're, you know, the local authorities and even the private sector are very interested in this area now in terms of making housing more suitable for the longer term needs of the population. And you know, you can think of examples like Colvick Court in Limerick, where, you know, they've included, you know, wet rooms and lifts and all sorts of different features to make sure that older people will be really comfortable living there for, you know, the duration of their lives and won't have to move to alternative accommodation then after it. And it's important, I suppose, to consider options like right sizing. So if older people are living in a house that becomes unmanageable for them or that is not accessible to them anymore, that they can be supported to maybe move to more appropriate accommodation that meets their needs better. So there are different pieces of work happening. There's a new piece of research commencing at the moment on right sizing to see what support older people will need to kind of make the move into more age-appropriate accommodation.
Yes, and then of course the next thing is, you know, the travel pass has been an absolute boom for the senior citizens, and with going back years, and it has been part and parcel of their lives. But that talks about transport, and in Ireland now, there's not always accessible transport for seniors, particularly people with wheelchairs.
Yes, yeah. There, I suppose there are issues. I know there are issues for wheelchair users. Maybe there might be somebody already in the spot on the bus and that. There's a new phase of consultation for Bus Connects, and we'll be linking quite closely with the National Transport Authority, and they will be purchasing more accessible vehicles. There's also services provided by Local Link all around the country in rural areas to try and, you know, support transport provision for people, you know, where there aren't the kind of main bus air and services and that. In Meath as well, you have FlexiBus. They have a community car service with volunteer drivers. So there are very good examples of, you know, local initiatives that can help to meet that transport need. In Age Friendly Ireland, we try to support, you know, the scaling up of where, you know, a project is maybe done on a pilot basis, and that we can promote it to the other counties to see can they take it on and sort of replicate it in different areas and that. Transport is one of the themes of the World Health Organization's global age-friendly program. It's so crucial to everything, whether it's accessing healthcare services or, you know, social opportunities or employment or anything else. Everybody needs transport, you know, including older people. So what was the question there in terms of, are you talking about the gaps in transport for particular
issues? The gaps in transport, well, of course, now, we were talking that there's going to be electric buses now coming on stream, or half electric prototypes.
Hybrid.
Yeah, hybrid. Yeah, that's the word. I'm searching for hybrid type buses. You know, when we were talking to the people that are privatising the buses, they say they will do everything they can to, you know, facilitate it as senior citizens as such. But that has to be seen to be true, or to be proved. Of course, it's early stages, yes. And transport is one of the things that you know, senior citizens, they can't possibly run for the bus, you know, as such. The frequency of buses and all that, by and large they have they know the timetable when the bus is coming, and they make sure that they'll be there in time. But the changing of routes now and all this type of thing is going to disorientate a few people.
Is this under Bus Connects? Greater Dublin area. Yeah, well, I know that they've put kind of printed leaflets into people's houses as well about the changes, but I think Bus Connects is going to be phased in over a kind of a long time frame. It's not going to be overnight. So hopefully, maybe through the local age-friendly programmes, you know, there's an older person's council in each local authority area. So hopefully, you know, we can use these structures to get the information out to older people about what changes are taking place in terms of their transport routes and that. But, you know, there's very good structures set up under Age Friendly Ireland, and there's, you know, fantastic volunteers involved through the Older People's Councils. So it's a huge benefit to the programme that they can link in with their local communities, and particularly with isolated and maybe more marginalised individuals, that there's a lot of services there that can help them, befriending services and, you know, men's sheds and that. So we can get information out to people, you know, about the services that are changing. We're also in the process of setting up an age-friendly website for each county, so that there'll be a one-stop shop for information, including information on transport links and all of that. And older people will be able to access information easily, kind of on one website. And that'll be happening this year.
Yes, and that brings me on to the next question now, with regard to the weather now has been sort of benign. It hasn't been too cold or too wet or anything like that. And let's hope it stays like that for the rest of the year. But the quite a lot of people would have purchased their houses in the maybe 50s or 60s, and now they're at an age that they find it very hard to heat the homes as such. Now, we know there's grants available, et cetera. But insulation seems to be the way forward with regard to these homes. And lots of people can downsize because a big house, there might be only one person in it and the four or five rooms, and it's impossible to keep heating, you know. And there's all sorts of schemes to downsize. Maybe your philosophy on that, or your policies around that.
Well, I think you're right again. I think information is key. There are a lot of supports available. There's grants from Sustainable Energy Ireland for kind of home improvements. Mm. There's grants from local authorities for adaptations for people, you know, with mobility issues and that, or people need a ramp, they can apply to the local authority for grants. The local authorities are also in the process of appointing an age-friendly housing technician, somebody kind of at the technical grades, to be sort of a specialist for providing advice to people in relation to age-friendly housing and that. In terms of, I suppose, older people, you know, want to have options to consider whether they want to move to a more age-appropriate house or a more age-friendly house, or whether they want to just... you know, maybe install some features in their own house to make it more suitable for them as they're aging. There's certainly a lot of avenues to get advice, but they can contact us in Age Friendly Ireland and we can advise them, you know, who to go to. Could be their local Age Friendly programme manager. If they want to look up our website, it's www.agefriendlyireland.ie, or they can phone us on 046-909-7413. And we'll give them advice on, you know, who would be the best point to contact if they're looking for information on what options they might have regarding their housing.
Yes, I think with regard to it, like a person living in a community, maybe living in the same community for the last 50, 60, 40 or odd years, and to be reluctant to downsize to some community that they're not... familiar with, you know, where all the friends
are, etc.
This is always a big worry. So they think they just stay where we are, stay put, as such. And majority of the relatives may be gone or moved on, or maybe the sons and daughters have had to emigrate to Australia or America or whatever, and they're only in touch every now and then. Of course, Swipe is a great facility nowadays for keeping in touch. But
there's options. Like people can, maybe if they have a big four-bedroom house, they could split it and maybe have an apartment on the top floor and just live on the ground floor themselves. Or maybe they could do something like home share, take in a renter who maybe would be company for the person in the home and also a source of income.
And a source of security too.
Security to have an extra person living in the house and that.
Well, alone do quite a lot of stuff similar to that, and we were talking to Mr. Moynihan and all that about their policy and their schemes with regard to that.
Yeah.
But it's not a pretty widespread issue as such, you know. But people there are lots of people, and everybody, I think, is always resistant to change now and then. And of course, we're living in a society in an age that is changing rapidly by the minute. But senior citizens as such, mobility is one of the main things that they should always aim for. And, and to broaden the mind.
Lifelong learning. And I think a lot of old people maybe are afraid of things like information technology and smartphones and all of that. But when you provide the proper training, they're well able to do it, and they enjoy it as well. There's been great examples of maybe intergenerational projects where you have transition year students teaching older people how to use iPads and that. So I think mobility and, you know, staying engaged and staying connected as much as possible are kind of key to good quality of life in older age.
Yeah, the quality of life is the main aim for everybody, you know, and particularly in their elder years, people. Although they become more agile brain-wise, majority of people, they may not be that agile physically as such, but you know, there's all sort of good things happening, and there's all sort of adverse things happening. Like we noted now that senior citizens are becoming homeless. There's a slight increase in it over the last 6 months or so, and this is a worrying trend. You know, particularly people are renting.
Of course.
And, you know, there is no priority for senior citizens in anything. You just take your chances like everybody else.
Well, I think somebody, an older person who had, you know, particular vulnerabilities would be prioritised. But yeah, that is a huge concern if older people are maybe having to, who are renting and have to move out. Yeah, I suppose they'd need to get on to their local authority and make an appointment with the housing officer to discuss their needs if that's happening. And then there's a lot of voluntary housing bodies as well that provide accommodation for older people and would provide very age-friendly accommodation as well.
Yeah, now that was given to you back to maybe where we started. We're recognised as the best place in the world for to grow older in.
And we're recognised as having made the commitment across all of the local authority areas, every county and city, that there's a commitment in place, that there's a strategy in place to be more age-friendly. There's an inter-agency partnership called the Age-Friendly Alliance in each local authority area, and that's a partnership between the council, the HSE, the Gardaí, and the Education and Training Boards and other partners as well. So we're not saying that we're fully age-friendly and we are the best place in the world at the moment. What the World Health Organization recognition ceremony was about recognising the commitment that Ireland has made and that we've all formally signed up to the programme and that every county or city has a strategy and an action plan in place, if you like. So we're very much in the process. We've been delivering on this for 10 years, but we're heading into a new decade now and we have another level of work to engage in to really ensure that Ireland does become the best place in the world for older people to grow older in.
Yeah, and that's a work in progress and as such. And what would be the main priorities?
Well, I suppose for the next couple of years it'll be health and housing, I think, kind of the two big ticket issues. I suppose you have to meet those kind of, you know, basic needs first, but it all ties in. I mean, there's 8 teams in the World Health Organization's programme, so you're talking about transport, social participation, social inclusion and respect, and that touches on what you were talking about, the stereotype of older people. Like, we want to very much kind of show what the true picture of being an older person is and you know, challenge the stereotype. The other themes then are communication and information, and then community support and health services, and civic participation and employment, outdoor spaces and buildings. So they're all interlinked, and they're all really, really important, because the public spaces, the parks, you know, streetscapes and all of that, they're as important as, you know, being able to get on the bus. If you need to be able to walk to the bus or go in your wheelchair to the bus, so everything's kind of interlinked. But I suppose the priorities for age-friendly Ireland for the next couple of years will be health and housing, trying to make, you know, support the local authorities and the other agencies and private sector as well to make inroads into these areas.
Yes, and as you say at the beginning of the programme, we're getting older by the minute, and the population will possibly double within 2050.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And on that note... I'd like to thank you very much for coming on, and we'll keep in touch with you as things progress during the year, and hopefully you'll have made a huge amount of strides by then. And I'd like to
thank you very much. I hope we've more to update you on the next time. Thank you so much.
Right, okay. Thank you. And
that
was Dr. Emer Coveney of Age Friendly, and he was talking to Paul and myself with regard to things that are happening in the country at the moment, and they're doing tremendous work.